Blog Talk Radio.
Damn time. Do you have any idea what it's like to drink a half a bottle of ketchup thinking it was a bottle of 1946 Chateau Neuf de Pop?
Hello, and welcome to episode 13 of Bizarro UK. That's a nice number for our special guest today to join in on. You're number 13, Michael Thorn.
Hey!
Hey!
It's haunting.
Yeah. No,
the number 13 is following me. It's haunting me.
Are you superstitious?
No, not really. No. My wife, I got married on the Friday 13th.
Awesome. Was that planned or was that just the way it fell?
Yeah, we'll see.
So,
nice of you to have me, man.
No, thanks for joining me. It's a pleasure. You're all the way over in sunny Sweden.
Yeah, exactly, on the east coast.
On the east coast of Sweden. And tell everyone a little bit about yourself, just a few words, and then we'll get started.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm Michael Thorn, 33 years old, and I'm a writer. I'm referred to by the United States people as the Swedish madman, the sweatster, the wolfman, since the last pranks at Crawlcon this year. I don't know what to say.
You got cool little names. They call me the lame one, right?
Exactly.
I should have been shot. So we'll start off then, and we'll talk about how you figured out, you know, I'm going to have a go at this writing nonsense, and how did that come about?
Which one? I'm sorry.
How did you get into writing first place?
I played a lot of music. Me and my friend had a studio for a couple of years. We recorded like metal. I'm a guitarist from the beginning. When my wife and I got a daughter, I decided to make some changes just to be home more. Since music life is very... tends to take a lot of time, you know,
yeah,
away from the family. So I jumped on the London School of Journalism for a short story course. Nothing fancy, like you pay the fee and get started. So I started writing short stories and thought it was a lot of fun. So that was, I think, back in 2010. And from there on, you know, I just kept writing. And then I started a project called Feverish Fiction. One of your previous guests, Gregor Cole.
Yeah.
I've been on it. He studied at the London School too. So.
Wow.
So that was cool. And then I, a couple of years later, I got published by Donna Fox Ministries.
Yeah.
With my debut novella, Blackheart Metal Monster. And from there on, I'm just, you know, roll on.
Snowballing.
Yeah.
Great stuff. What's your process like when you sit down at a computer and or indeed in front of a typewriter? I don't know. Fucking hell.
It's a computerized typewriter.
Yeah. I saw one of those the other day on the internet. It's like a typewriter that you plug into your USB, but it's just a typewriter. But
I'm only joking. I didn't know they existed.
They do exist. Yeah, it's been crowdfunded. These things are actually. I'm gonna get one.
That's cool.
So what's your writing like? Your process? Do you plan or do you just jump straight in and see where it takes you?
I do not plan at all. I just improvise. Basically, I have like an idea, and I'm trying to. You know, it's very abstract. Kind of lining out, and then I'm just trying to evolve it as I go along, and
yeah,
you know, edit back, edit, trying to look into what's missing, you know, if some characters need developing or, you know,
yeah,
that sort of stuff. I hate planning out stories because the times I've tried it has always ended up, you know, me being frustrated because I cannot work after plans.
Yeah, you just like, you know where you go and it becomes a bit tedious. Almost.
Yeah, it's fun to, you know, experience the journey along with the with itself.
Yeah, I have to agree. Have you got any strange writing habits? Like, is there anything that you have to absolutely do before or during writing? Is there anything? I don't know. If people have writing habits, it's a thing. Do you have any?
Probably just, you know, I tend to crank up some, you know, nice doom stoner albums.
Wow. Yeah.
you know, go nuts and then turn it off and just sit down and write. I like to write with, like, some sort of mad frustration. And always half into the books, I tend to, like, go nuts.
Yeah.
Be angry at the book.
Yeah.
You know, throw the computer out the window.
Yeah, like proper. Yeah, but you have to go to a hotel first and then throw it out of a hotel window.
Yeah.
That's rock and roll. Do you think the music, because, I mean, a lot of horror and bizarro authors specifically are into, like, heavier music, heavy metal, or, you know, something like... Do you think that has anything to do, you know, with the genre at all?
May have, I don't know, you know. It comes sort of hand in hand, I believe, for me at least. You know, I think since the themes are often the same,
yeah,
evolves around the same kind of things, like occultism and sex and... or whatever, you know, but not necessarily, you know. Tough question.
It is, but it's like, honestly, look out for it, right? You'll never see a horror author say that they sat down with James Blunt. Yeah, Jamie Cullum, you know.
Exactly.
Tinkling the ivory, you know. You just wouldn't get the same, I think, thing from it. Sometimes, I mean, I listen to a lot of instrumental stuff because it's tough writing when there's lyrics, I find.
Oh yeah, same here.
Does that bother you?
Because you know, after a while you find yourself writing the exact lyrics.
Yeah, you try sitting down and writing while you got Eminem on in the background. That just
exactly.
You've recently had out a couple of new books, really. Gillian's Marsh, which is pretty new as well. That's just out from Riot Forge. Who are doing great things as well. Sort of monitoring Riot Forge at the moment because they just came from nowhere and they're just doing really good stuff.
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about Gillian's Marsh, if you could.
It takes place in the mid-19th century. It's basically a mix. I try to mix up like Western Victorian kind of Puritan stuff with the town. It's a town called Gillianswick, which is like some sort of New England town in the 1800s.
Yeah.
It's about the main character Little Lee Wisham is the book starts off with her running in the woods. She's chased by her father.
Yeah.
This lonely woodsman finds her in the woods. And she's lying under a tree and he takes her home. And basically she is it's a book about this. She has had a hard time, you know, in her family. With all kinds of mean stuff.
Yeah.
So it's about a kind of a revenge story, with her slowly turning to a witch under the book, you know. So that was fun to write.
And that one's just just come out, hasn't it? About a month ago.
Yeah, I think May 10th was the publication date.
May 10th, yeah. So it's just over a month. So everybody who hasn't read any of Michael's work, that's probably as good a place as any to start. You've also had the second edition of Cannibal Island.
Yeah.
Released. And that one's out through Dynatox Ministries. I love Cannibal Exploitation. Does it hark back to the old, Cannibal Ferox and Cannibal Apocalypse, that kind of thing?
Oh yeah, it's built on the same premises, inspired by those movies.
Yeah.
With the build up and sort. The only difference is my take is it takes place in the 1920s and it's a British expedition.
Yeah.
That goes out to investigate a meteorite hit on the Zanzibar archipelago. The British, there's a big meeting in the British Museum with geologists and that sort of stuff, and they put together an expedition led by a hobbling nice British man called Richard Clayworth, who is the first half of the book is the journey toward a place. And there's a lot of strange things going on with expedition members, like find out very strange things.
Yeah.
And then they land on the island after a lot of problems, and then shit gets worse.
as it always does. There's quite a chunk of your work is actually released by Dynatox. How do you find working with Jordan Crowell and Dynatox Ministries?
I really dig Dynatox Ministries. I consider them like my main house publisher.
Yeah.
And I think Dynatox Ministries put out really interesting books. You know, I think it's almost like 200 titles in their catalog.
Yeah.
And working with Jordan has been, a blessing because... it's very easy to work with. You pitch your ideas, and there's, he has either or not, he has like comments on what he thinks or how to change the, what flies or not.
Yeah.
So I really dig him, and it was cool to meet him in person this year.
Yeah, I was going to talk about... CrawlCon, which you've recently attended. What was that like for you then?
Oh, it was a blast. I had so much fun.
Yeah.
Meeting all the writers, a lot of partying.
Yeah, I saw photos. It looks like a lot of partying.
But
it does look fun as well.
Cool. That is the CrawlCon ceremony. We would drink crawl juice.
Not from the man himself.
Nobody knows.
It's a mystery juice.
Exactly. The recipe is still secret.
Yeah,
I
think he'd like to keep it that way as well.
It was really fun, it was more daunting, flying into the US for the first time.
Yeah, I should imagine. I should imagine.
You never know if you're getting beside the guards.
No.
But it worked out fine, so.
Yeah. And,
I'm actually going to the Dynatox Halloween party this year, too.
Oh, is there a Halloween party?
Yeah,
I didn't even hear about that.
I think it will be really cool.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Wear my wolf mask.
To go with your nickname.
Exactly.
So you're doing a couple of events and things. How important do you think it is for authors in this day and age where everything is done online, digitally. How important do you think it is for an author to actually put themselves out there, put a face to the name, and sort of interact with readers and other authors?
I think it's really hard because there's so much writing. And what I found out, I really want to, you know, start to attend more conventions. You know, I've seen a lot of people doing that. You see the Facebook feeds on people putting up big, large tables with their books, you know, publishers' books. And it's, I think it's the best way, you know, to meet people and talk about books in face to face.
Yeah.
There's rather big risk that, you know, all that you put out gets lost in the big.
Yeah.
On the speed.
I think it does at the moment. I think we're living in a, you know, it's like if you're a good writer, it is like, you know, pissing wine into a sea of piss.
Yeah.
Really. to put it politely, and it is hard to get noticed as well. It's
Amazon's are probably a good way to, you know, get your name out there.
Yeah. I agree. It's, try and do. I used to do a lot of short storage, 6 months of short stories, and then longer work. And then so you've got all these stories out there in different anthologies getting noticed, and then people will start to look around, I suppose. You're not in America. You're not in the UK, where Bizarro's a relatively new thing. You're in Sweden. What's the scene like over there for horror and Bizarro and that kind of genre?
I think the horror scene is starting to get quite a big room here. But I'm not so, you know, I do not have so much eyesight into the scene because there's mainly the stuff that flies here is written on Swedish.
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, I have no clue. But I have seen that there is a couple of Swedish publishers that has started to publish English written works as well. So maybe it has, you know, gained some foothold too. So hopefully that would be cool.
Definitely.
There's a strange literary scene here otherwise, because the Swedes tend to, you know, the most popular genre is like detective stories, you know, you probably
heard. Yeah, you have a lot of the, I forgot what they call it now. A lot of sort of detective and kidnap stories and things. And they've been making them all into TV shows as well. There's a lot of that about it. It's good stuff. Though I went to Fright Fest last year, and I think we watched two films from whether it's Sweden or somewhere close, where they were really tense films. It's like they know how to do it. Do you know what I mean? Very good stuff. So back to writing. What do you find easier to write, your short stories or like your longer work?
Oh, I like to write longer work. I had this period where I was aiming to, you know, all these anthology submissions popped up, you know.
Yeah.
It was really fun to write them, but I think I crammed out like 20 or so short stories.
Yeah.
But, you know, I found it afterwards, you know, today I'm not interested in writing short stories, at least not for the moment, because I think you have this cool idea and it's hard to write short stories also, you know, to make it, find that perfect balance, which I find is easier to create in a longer work. Like a novella, I think it's a very nice format.
Yeah,
50,000 to 30,000 words.
Yeah, it is a nice form. It's coming back as well. It's I think there's quite a few publishers now who are specifically only taking novellas or novelettes, or that, you know, it's a nice medium, I think, for for a publisher. So
what about you? Do you prefer?
Sorry?
What about you? Do you? I saw that you have put out a lot of stuff.
I prefer longer stuff now. But there is, you know, sometimes when you get asked and you have to step back and write for a short for an anthology or something, it is tough. You do want to, you know, expand a little bit.
Sometimes it feels like, you know, you're spoiling the cool idea, but, you know, spoiling it, you know, you can always make it longer another time, but...
That's it. Have you ever written a short story that you've looked at and thought this would, you know, work better as a longer piece and thought about doing it?
Not really. Because I afterwards, when I, you know, looked, like, skimmed through my published short stories, I've noticed that I, you know, they're all really off the wall, you know.
Yeah.
I do not know what I've done. very crazy stuff, but I feel I find like a home in writing these like exploitation. I feel comfort in writing exploitation novellas and horror novellas too. You know, I think I'll settle here for a while.
I think that's what you need to do is, as a writer, is find what you enjoy the most. Find, you know, get comfortable. Find what you're best at, and then, you know,
and then get uncomfortable.
Which brings me to have you ever sat down and struggled, writer's block, or just struggled with, you know, ideas, or do you always have a constant backlog of crazy shit that you just think, you know?
Sometimes, you know. I do not like the term writer's block, though, but, whatever, you know, I know.
That's why I tiptoe around it. Whenever I ask that question, I always tiptoe around writer's block.
But, you know, I really have, you know, like some periods that when I cannot get a single word out, you know, I can get a single word out, but the things that come out are, you know, so bloody uninteresting, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, it feels like shit, you know, you get annoyed. But after a while, recently, I just came out from such a period, you know, where it's, nothing came out, you know, it was like, oh, forget it, you know. So I went to some festival and, you know, did other things, just try not to think of it. And then when I came back, you know, for a couple of days ago,
yeah,
it's like, oh God, I need to sit down and write.
Yeah,
and it's always the respawn, you know.
Yeah,
it started to flow again. So yeah,
there's always that thing that's got at the back of your head. It's always nice when you sit down and you actually can remember what you were fucking doing. So it's like, because I don't know about you, but when I have a few days off, I think, what if I'm fucking losing it? Not writing, I'm going to sit down in a minute and just fucking hit the keys, you know, and nothing's going to come out. And it's just like, when you actually sit down and you realise, hey, I can take a few days off. I can take a few days off and it's not going to affect me.
I had a paranoia too, you know. if I cannot write anymore, what's happened?
Exactly. I think it's a fear that's just ingrained into an author. It does worry me, but usually everything works out okay in the end.
I think it's good with some time off sometimes, you know, just to, you know, kind of like refill the ideas, or, you know, I like to write when I really, you know, when I feel it's like, when it's fun to write, you know.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, the process of making a novella for me, it often starts up with being, you know, so nice, all these ideas. And then, you know, mid novella is like, oh, fucking God, I hate this book.
Yeah.
And then, you know, kind of like, force yourself over that little piece of mountain and come out on the other side. And it's like, oh, I like this book again. And then comes the edit part, you know, which is hair raising.
Yeah, it's, I mean, editing and writing your own synopses is usually one that authors hate. Condensing the entire book into less than 200 words for the back cover, I mean, that's the bane of most people's lives. Well, most writers. People don't give a shit. Normal people don't care. So it's just those crazy people. What are your what would you say are your inspirations as a writer? Who or what inspires you?
I think the works of Edward Lee has inspired me most. But often, you know, it's like comic books or graphic novels, such as, you know, Gilbert Shelton, Charles Burns, like underground, Robert Crumb, underground series from the 60s, 70s.
Yeah.
You know, Brian Keene, I started reading a lot of Brian Keene when I started writing, you know.
Yeah.
So that's cool. So Brian Keene, Edward Lee, Lovecraft, Brian Lumley, I love. Also, you know, many of the authors with Dynatalks, like Jordan Crawl, Philip Lopresti, I love his poems, you know.
Yeah.
So there's always, you know, inspiration you can, you know, can take from reading probably whatever, you know.
Yeah.
I had this period where I read only ghost stories by M.R. James and a lot of...
M.R. James is a great writer to sit down and read around Christmas time.
Oh, yeah. Right. One of his ghost stories, The Ash Tree, I think it's called.
Yeah.
You know, literally had me jumped, you know, when the large spider popped out from his burrow.
Yeah. What do you think's happened to ghost stories? I mean, they're not, you know, they used to be, I mean, in Victorian England, you know, you've got people walking around on crutches, please, yeah, and all that. That ghost stories were in abundance. And then, I mean, zombies and, you know, vamps and that are still around. And it's rare that you actually get, they're out there, but not as popular as they once were.
It would be cool to see it come back because, you know, I'm a huge fan of the ghost story genre, especially, you know, the Victorian. I have a lot of other books like Oriental ghost stories and also in ghost stories, but I'm most fond of the British ghost story tradition.
Yeah, it was a good time, I think, to be a writer when M.R. James and I think Ambrose Bierce and you know, these are authors who knew how to frighten people without really going to the extreme like we have to. Do you know what I mean? It's like
that is an uncanny ability of doing that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think because
you see many of those writers back in that time were like really, you know, super scholars, professors.
Yeah.
M.R. James invited his colleagues over for like Sunday dinner, and when they sat in the lounge smoking pipes, you know, sipping on drinks, you know, he stood and, you know, read his short stories like for the gentlemen.
Brings like the scene of Carnacki the Ghost Finder. Just a bunch of like gentlemen sitting around drinking brandy and just a story, just imparting a story, just saying, you know. And then at the end of the story, it was usually, oh, but it wasn't anything supernatural, it was something else. But, you know, it gripped you. I think that we need to bring that back.
Oh, yeah.
We need to bring that back.
That would be our mission from.
Yeah. Put out a book of ghost stories.
Podcast on.
your fiction is more the extreme side of things. Is there any subject that you wouldn't even think about writing as an author, or do you think everything in fiction is fair game?
I think everything is fair game, but of course there are some things I wouldn't want to write for myself, because I would be like, it's creeped out of going through the process.
Yeah.
Some subjects such as pedophilia, those kind of horrid shit. I wouldn't subject myself of doing it just because I think I would be gross, really devastated.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's should be any censorship in fiction whatsoever.
No, it's
if you handle it, if you can do it, write it good, then I.
One of the reasons for this question is usually reviewers and their sort of when they leave a negative review, because the first, I didn't read the whole book because the first five pages contained a rape and it's that kind of as an author, do you have to censor yourself in this day and age? But a lot of people, it's like, I've got a child, I would never write about pedophilia. It's hard enough writing about if a child gets hurt in a book, or if it or gets kidnapped, or so it's just a tough one, isn't it?
Oh yeah, because you as a writer, some way or another, without sounding pretentious, you are going through the channeling of it all,
yeah,
when you're writing the particular scenes or whatever.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get that feeling when you're writing that is like the hair stands on your back, because it's like really disgusting stuff.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Your work's got a sort of, we talked about the exploitation and the, almost a B movie feel to it. You're obviously a fan of cult and B movies. From the day. So we're going to talk about that for a while. Some of your favourites, some of the worst, shittiest B movies that you've ever seen that were actually good.
There's a few.
There's plenty.
Well, one of my favourite movies is The Wasp Woman.
The Wasp Woman.
But I love those, Cormac stuff, especially The Wasp Woman, for some reason, but also in terms of, Nazi exploitation stuff.
Yeah.
There is always, the worst ones, Gestapo's Last Orgy.
I haven't seen that one. Is that on Netflix?
They just brought it in.
Oh, I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah. So, there's a lot of cool stuff, sexploitation, the Satan's Baby Doll, really good stuff.
Yeah.
The Beast in Space, and a lot of stuff, so I'm trying to expand my exploitation collection, a lot.
Yeah.
But, I've had to find all those B movies, let's say, it came from outer space, those kind of things, the 50s, 60s. I like the rawness in them because they're so, brutally, horribly done.
Yeah.
And I think it's cool to, try to catch that particular feeling in writing, too.
Yeah.
If it's possible.
Reviews. We were on the subject of reviews. I've skipped it. Do you ever read your own reviews? And do you ever, if you get, I don't know if you get negative reviews, you might not, but if you do, how do you cope with the negative ones?
I don't think it's, no. There's no problem getting bad reviews. I do not, care that much about reviews.
Yeah.
I just want to live in my own bubble.
Yeah, just leave me alone. I'll just write them. You review them. I ain't fucking bothered.
But it doesn't bother me that much, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, when you get a good review, it's fun, but
yeah.
It would be weird to just read every review or whatever, because it would start to feel like, I don't know, I think it would affect one's work.
Yeah.
Better to, just let go and
write
stuff you like, trying to, read other people's stuff.
See, when I first started out, I used to check my reviews daily. But now, I haven't checked my reviews. I don't know. People might hate me and I don't even know about it. There was a guy, I think this happened yesterday. A guy on Goodreads, some book he'd written, and somebody gave it a 1-star, said it was too wordy and pretentious. So he decided to take to the board. And say that, oh, you hate me, you're trying to destroy my life, otherwise you wouldn't have given me this 1-star review. And his whole riposte was pretentious and wordy. So it was like, and this thread went on and on, everyone coming in, and it was like watching a car crash in slow motion, and it was so much fun. But I felt sorry for the guy, but he should have kept his mouth shut. Reviewers, it's their opinion. It's one person's opinion. They're entitled to it. If they don't like your book, you just, be grateful that they read it in the first place. This guy, it's so much fun just watching. I think it's still going now. It's like, when he started off, his book was in like 3.5.
Okay.
3.5 stars. I think it's down to 1 now. Average. That's what happens when you piss off reviewers. Just never, ever comment on a review as an author. Say thank you, but never pick apart a review.
No.
This guy, though, is hilarious. What would you say, and this is always my favourite question, pisses you off in life, just in general, or online, or
what again? Can you say that? I didn't hear it.
Oh, sorry. What pisses you off? What really annoys you? What really grinds your gears as a human being on this planet?
The fact that I have to work to earn my money. I would say the general world politics, this greed for money.
Yeah.
That is what, really fucking pisses me off, because it's so wrong. I would love to see a world where, what pisses me off is, this day and age, because there is so much fucking shit going on with all these, religions, fanatics, people just bashing each other from left to right. But I don't know.
That's the thing. It's like, what can you do? You can't.
Exactly.
We're just spectators.
And that pisses me off, because you can just sit back and watch it all. Probably you could go into politics, spend the next 15 years. And wouldn't matter at all.
So by the time you get there, you'll be as corrupt as everyone else. I don't know what the government's like in Sweden, but the one we've got is just fuck. It's like Laurel and Hardy over here.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Our country too, not many people do agree.
Worldwide, it sounds like.
Yeah. So that, that's it.
Politics.
Yeah.
The
hunger for money,
Yeah. Yeah.
It would be cooler if people, created stuff instead.
See, I don't know, I've always thought we'd be better off if we were sent back to the dark ages. If all the money went, if all credit card debt and debt in general just was wiped and everyone was just, you know, a community again.
Trading, you know, living by trading, you know.
Yeah, barter system. I think,
yeah.
You know, I think move it back to that.
But with the technology, though.
Well, this is why we need a solar flare.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do one. Right, so move on to some of the best books you've read this year, or some of the best authors that people should be reading right now.
I would say Jordan Crawl, Nick Cato. Nick Cato's, I just read his The Last Porno Theater, which was great. Then, you know, this year I haven't got to reading that much. Only, you know, I've been really been robbed of time, but
yeah,
I would say the whole Dynatox catalog, not being biased at all.
So that's 200 books. yeah,
exactly. Read all of those.
Yeah, everybody just run out now. 200 books.
Dynatox books, no. No, but really, you know, those are the most interesting writers, you know, I find today. You know, Jürgen Kroll puts out all of these. I don't know if you read that Humanity is the Devil.
No, I haven't, no.
Okay. It's like this really dark reality stuff about the human state of mind today, you know. Really good stuff. And then I read Nick Cato. So, yeah, I would say those two and Philip Lopresti's poetry books are really good.
Yeah, I read Haunted Fucking Stories, was it?
Also Jonathan Moon, John R. Myers. I read their books, and Grant Womack's Lightbulb's Layman was really good.
Grant Womack's awesome. He came on the show a few weeks back. He was
Yeah,
he's a good guy. And he's doing something. he's in the Navy. It's like we talked about this. Like, it's like I'm sitting here doing just, you know, bashing keys, and he's actually writing as well as being a hero.
That's awesome.
I said you have to check yourself, really. It's like, what the fuck am I doing?
What am I doing?
Yeah, exactly. What am I doing? I should be in the Navy. I'm a bit long in the tooth for the Navy now.
Go in the Navy, man.
I get a stitch getting up the stairs.
And, you know, ride fucking big battleships.
Yeah.
Another, you know, I found this really cool comic artist called, what's his name? Let's see. Simon Hanselman. He has written. He had a strip for, I think it was some New York magazine.
Yeah.
One of his collections called Mega Hex. It was really, really cool.
Cool.
Check that out.
Yeah. So just before we wrap up, I'm going to ask, why should people pick up a Michael Fawn book?
Because. I am Spencer. I am the Wolfman. And you will not get any better exploitation tales or horror in this day.
That's good. You heard it, everyone. This is the Wolfman.
Yep.
and what's next for you? What have you got in the pipeline?
Actually, I'm working on 3 books at the moment. One is a second-person adventure, like a surreal second-person adventure.
Wow.
Called Hex. Then I'm writing the third book for my robot erotica series, the first being Deep Invaders 3, yeah. Exhaust by Ecstasy is the second one, and the third one is called Feline's Fantasies, which is written like a play. And then there's another book, and hopefully, later this year, I'm going to start writing the sequel to Cannibal Island called Cannibal Island 2, Return to Hell.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cannibal Island 2.
Yep. So that's what I have in, you know, in my pipeline at the moment.
And that, how can people get in touch with you? Website, Twitter, Facebook?
Oh, yeah. It's michaelfawn.wordpress.com. That's my webpage. I have no clue what my Facebook address is. Facebook.com/Michael Fawn. I don't know.
It's usually Facebook.com/Michael Fawn/332461.3.
Except 745.
Yeah. They still haven't sort of made it any easier.
And the Twitter is the same, you know, 300 digits.
Yeah.
The secret codes.
Yeah. And some hieroglyphics.
Exactly, and some runes.
Mate, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Likewise, man.
And, yeah, it's been great. If you, everybody go and pick up a Michael Fawn book and get some of the best exploitation you will read from the Wolfman himself.
Thank you. Thank you, man.
All right, mate.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure, mate. Stick around. I'll just speak to you in a minute, and then... Right, we're going to finish. I'm not here next week. I'm actually at a convention. But the week following, I'll be back with Duncan Bradlaugh. We'll be talking about lots of stuff. Oh, I am here, actually. Yeah, hello. Next Saturday, there should be a special show, and it'll be 2 hours long, and it'll be about, I believe, between 6 and 12 authors, and it's going to be very messy. There's a charity anthology coming out called The Black Room Manuscripts, and that is going to benefit Blue Cross UK and everybody who's provided a story for the anthology will be on the show, and we'll just be basically fighting, just getting oiled up and just fighting. So that'll be hopefully next Saturday. So thanks for listening. And I've been Adam Millard. This is Bizarro UK. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, mate. It's been an absolute pleasure.
I'm not like you. I just fuck up. Come on, motherfucker. Everybody has to die. People equal.